Welcome to the Land Investing Business Secret Podcast, where each short episode we talk about the strategies, experiences, and the tools to help you launch, grow, and scale your land business. Learn how to find freedom within your own business, find out ways to build consistency in your processes, and hear how other everyday land investors are winning so you can get to the next step closer to building your dream life through your land business. And I'm your host of the Land Investing Business Secrets Podcast by Pebble, Jesse Kwong. Hey, how's it going? This is Jesse of the Land Investing Business Secrets Podcast. Welcome to the end of 2023, or welcome into 2024 if you're listening to this in the new year. Well, what I love doing at the end of the year is summarizing some of the key lessons learned across the last 12 months. So what I've done on this episode is pulled out 23 lessons from all the previous guests I've had in the last 12 months. So I hope you enjoy this episode here as I condense some of the best learnings in the last year of 2023. Enjoy this episode. What are those typical things you typically hear from people who, you know, what do they ask you when it comes to, you know, AI or Betty, and how do you guys sort of address that?
In our society as a whole, there's knowledge, there's awareness of AI, but the knowledge is very thin, and myself included. The main question we get is, but how does it work? What does it look at? It's so complex, it's almost impossible to explain. And I think what Shyam hit on earlier, it's the amalgamation of all the land investors' ideas and concepts into one that, whether you're just starting off, whether you're at this for 10 years, you're going to get the benefit of that at your fingertips. I mean, you're going to get what Google and Amazon and all these big heavy hitters have been spending all this money on. And here we are putting it together that's available for the average land investor at a 2 to 3 cents a piece of property.
When you're talking about the nurturing process, can you break that down for us in a little bit of a detailed step by step? What does that look like?
So I'll give some real world examples, but from a high level, and we've all felt this as land investors, right? You get an inbound lead, it looks like a good deal, you just never get a hold of them, right? So our process is 14 touches before we put them into a drip automation campaign. So if we get a hold of them on the seventh touch, we'll stop that cadence, but we don't use any automation for those first 14 touches. A lot of those are going to be done on the phone. I think that automation is just poor marketing. Like, I just think it's bad business, right? If someone goes dark on us, fine, we'll put them on a drip campaign. But it's like that people can see through that, right? The days of the internet marketing with a drip campaign working, like, that's like 20 years ago. That's not today. So we do 14 touches.
For yourself, in your land business, Jeremy, what are you guys trying or experimenting? Whether it's working or not, I'd love to hear about that.
For us right now, one of the things that we have tried a little bit differently this year on the disposition side is online auctions. We've not really done that a lot in the past, and I work with brokers in different areas that we, you know, participate in. And one of the brokers that we've worked with has approached me and says, "Hey, I've got this auction license, and I can do this if you're ever interested." And that's, you know, yeah, tell me more. And as we started talking about it, I was like, you know what, I'll try that, you know. And so we've probably sold 8 or 9 pieces of property this past year through online auctions, and it's been pretty cool, man. It's just a different way of doing business. So
any reevaluation? You just started mentioning this, but reevaluation on the goals of your land business. I mean, I'm sure this is something you're thinking about too. I mean,
you don't have to double your money, right? Mm-hmm. To have a decent income flow or from doing the land business. One of the things I've pondered is looking at buying properties that I already know people want to sell. And so whether that's long days on market or expired listings, and making offers that certainly will be lower than what somebody was hoping they would get. But at the same time, it's a different conversation than the blind offer or neutral letter conversation. Margins from a percent of return may not be as large, but and there's a larger cap, maybe a larger capital requirement as you move up, but that's not a barrier. So
what would you say is another thing people should have down here as they sort of start accelerating their business?
Okay, I'd say accelerator or secret number two is go after bigger deals immediately. You know, when you start to look at the man hours and the cost, you know, is mailing costs go up, postage goes up, soft, like everything, right? We're in an inflationary period. Everything's going up. So if you're going to stick a stamp on something and send it, why wouldn't you target a $100,000 property instead of a $10,000? Early on, it gives you these outsized returns, okay? And those outsized returns allow you to really stack like a cash preserve. And you're now can use that cash reserve as your operating capital. You're now kind of playing with house money immediately. That's where you want to be. So you want to start out doing bigger deals so that you can kind of front load your career with that versus starting really small, trying to build this big snowball. It takes a long time to do.
You have a lot of experience for asking for help. How do you ask for help?
I think that comes with time and experience, because in the very beginning, I didn't. I very much sat back and listened, you know, and then when I had a question, I would, you know, shyly ask. But as I became more involved in the community and, you know, make the friends and got comfortable talking to people and started to understand what the whole land industry was about, then I could kind of hold my own and ask my own questions and understand what it is. And even if I don't to this day, it's like everybody's just so open to help that it makes it easier for you to ask questions. And I tell people all the time, I have people all the time that are like messaging me that like names I've never seen before. And they're like, hey, you know, can you help me with this? Like, sure. Why not? I don't recognize you at all, but you're out here, you know, you're asking a question. I'm going to help you out. So I do try to pay it forward in that respect.
I think this is for all entrepreneurs too. Like, be very clear about how you want to go about your business and health first, family first, because burnout is real, isn't it, Paul?
Big time. I've gone through it on both my career as a firefighter and in the land. So I've got both to pull from. I know the warning signs a little better now, but the thing is, this is for people to remember, you don't need to burn your ships to get out and launch. Get out and launch, take your time, do the right steps, put the right people and processes in place. Good book I just read. I wish I had read it a long time ago. It's called Who, Not How by, I think it's Dan Sullivan. That kind of like, oh, duh, hello, mindset shift for me. So now I'm working on making sure I get the right who's in place before I start to scale up, which is why I'm aiming for 2-3 deals in this new method of land. So just to, let's get my feet wet in this new thing and start out slow. We'll get there eventually. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither is your land business.
How you approach land and what you're doing with land right now?
So at the beginning, I just try to wholesaling in the areas that are very cheap. For example, I buy land for $1,000 and the next day I sell them for $2,500, right? So that's a nice return and nice margin, but it wasn't very good for me. So which basically you do only land flip in the major markets, but not inside. It's kind of like a donut strategy, right? You go surrounding the major markets. So infill lots, major markets, that's what I do right now. Our profit this year is almost 900,000. So
any big lessons you got out of this that, again, our listeners might be able to take out of it, or, you know, whether it's something that you learned about yourself or about, you know, technically, was there any sort of things that you can point out here that is like, okay, that was interesting.
Okay, there was a lot for me to learn. And you know what? That's one thing. Like, yeah, you got to be open to learning. You got to be open to all the different, I guess, strategies there are out there, right? There isn't just one way to buy and sell land. There isn't one way to market land. And you also almost can't be fixated on that, you know, that one thing that kind of got you there, right? Because that one thing that got you there, you know, isn't going to propel your business to the next level if you stay there, right?
It's so easy to convince yourself that, no, I should be the one because I'm best at this. Can you talk to us a little bit and convince the listeners here that, listen, there is a huge payoff to this over time?
Mm. The purpose of a business is to build a commercial enterprise that works without you. But a business owner should be able to decide, do they want to have a break? Do they want to work in the business? Do they want to work on the business? Are they creative? Do they like doing the developing? Maybe they like doing the building. Whichever pieces you enjoy doing, you should be focusing on those. And it shouldn't be because you have to do it. It should be because you want to do it. And that's really what we're trying to kind of work towards, is helping business owners reach that state.
they love it. I think cold calling is one of those things you either you hate it or you love it. Am I correct? I get this feeling from people who love cold calling.
Well, I think the main thing about what allowed me to be so successful is you love it if you have a really superior mindset. Mm. And because it's hard to love people saying no, even if they're being nice and they're saying no, it's hard on your brain.
You would
think it gets easier cold calling. But it actually gets harder because when someone tells you no for 4 months, you're like, is it really no? Getting brainwashed by by all that. And so one thing I've learned is it really takes, so, you know, at my company for the Americans, we have to hire 5 people to get 1 to stay. Mm. So if that kind of answers that question.
This is a muscle I've been trying to develop. It's know what you're shooting for, right? Have clarity around that, but also celebrate it, dude.
Yeah.
Celebrate. Yeah. My God, as entrepreneurs, it's so easy to like hit the goal and be what's next. Yeah. Take a moment and like, whether it's just reflecting on it or this is weird. Like I would not classify myself as a materialistic person, but I've had to give myself carrot sticks as a little thing to say that train your brain. When you check off that win, give yourself a treat. I know some people are like so against that. Like, no, don't incentivize yourself like that. I think it's totally fair, whether it's a trip, taking your girlfriend out to dinner or your partner out to dinner, like whatever it may be, do something to recognize your accomplishments. Absolutely. It's so easy to just sidestep that and just be like, all right, what's next?
Yeah.
That's just not how I'm trying to live my life anymore.
There's a lot of different strategies, but one of the strategies that I teach in my course is I just want to get a response. I really want to figure out who the owner of the property is because I'm in this game, hopefully for the next 10 years. I mean, that I would love to get the verified cell phone number of the owner of this property and drip them texts every quarter for the next 10 years. Yeah. Get them on my email drip, maybe do a call every once in a while just to see how things are going. So that's my ultimate goal. I am not, of course I want to get a deal, but I've really tried to coach my team of we're not just going to go for the kill right now. We want to build a relationship. Yeah. Maybe we want to go a little bit more like, have you considered selling? Are you looking, would you consider an offer? Because you're just going to get a little less response. But for me, I've got 4 VAs that are doing texting. I'm okay getting a little more response because I have the personnel to be able to do the qualification and have a little more time doing a response. Does that make sense?
All right, so I hope you're enjoying all the key lessons that you're getting out of this episode here as we summarize all the key lessons in 2023. Now, you might be a land investor who has a strategy down, who knows the pockets to work out of, but you're finding yourself constantly in all the operational stuff, doing all the repeatable tasks, doing all the things that just annoy you and doesn't really move the business forward. And you feel that pull to be in the position where you're going to actually make the big changes or the 10x growth strategy changes in your business, but you can't because you're held back by all the different things that you're always getting involved with. All the administrative stuff, all the operational stuff, all the marketing stuff, when you really should be in the seat of moving the business forward. And this is what my challenge is all about. We call it the Dirt Hacker Challenge. It is a 5-day challenge to give you the blueprint on the strategies and ways of how to actually put your business on autopilot. Going through things on like, how do we automate our business? How do we build processes? And how do we hire team members? Essentially, how do we scale our business? You know how the land business works now, but you have no idea of how to actually start building in repeatable systems and processes into your business. If this is something you're feeling, head over to dirthackerchallenge.com and join me on this 5-day challenge as I give you the blueprint and some of the strategies to be able to buy back your time and scale your land investing business. That's dirthackerchallenge.com. I'll see you guys there. Anyways, enjoy the rest of this episode. What is your biggest challenge right now? What are you coming across right now that is a big challenge for you?
It's my list is a little bit of a mess. I got about 1,000 properties that I could take any of those properties, but I don't know which ones I have skip trades correctly, which ones are kind of a skip trades, which one did I skip trace myself? I mean, seriously, if I could find time to scrub my list and then hire somebody full time to help me cold call.
Right.
I think I will be very much in business. Yeah. No, seriously, that's it. Everything else. I mean, I have the website with you. People can go in there. I got the voicemail to receive phone calls. I mean, all those little things are done. It's just the list. It's always about the list.
You know, if you were to say houses, let's say the difficulty of houses at 100%, you know, managing contractors, managing this and inspecting this and all that kind of stuff versus land, where would land sit on that scale of between, you know, 100 to zero?
I mean, I guess 30. I mean, maybe three times easier. I mean, look at it. It's a much lower outlay on capital. I mean, if you want to make 30,000 on land, it's generally not going to cost you much more than 30,000. And often you can just assign it or wholesale it or whatever. There's less competition in land than there is in the single family space. Yeah. It's more flexible and scalable. Going from flipping 2 houses a month to 10 houses a month, you need a totally different business with a totally different financing machine. You need a lot of different bums on seats. But to go from owning 2 lots to owning 10 lots, I mean, maybe you need another VA, but that's it. It's not a whole lot extra. It's just a few more lines on a spreadsheet.
So how do we build that trust? That means that on your website, you need to be fully transparent about what you do, how you do it. You need to be seen as helpful. So that's why on our websites, we'll do things like videos, how-to guides, ebooks, checklists, listicles. We'll provide all of these different things that will allow the landowner to, one, get to know you, but number two, see that you are trustworthy and that you're credible and that you know what you're talking about. Now, the catch-22 to that, if someone's listening and they're like, but I don't know how to write an ebook, or maybe I haven't done enough deals to be credible yet. That's where marketing comes in, Jesse, because we make it like you are. It's where you need a good content writer, a good copywriter, and a good designer.
I notice you are someone who fully believes in leveraging people.
Yes.
How did you get there?
So here's the secret, guys. It's actually laziness. So in school, I'm 34. In elementary school, Mark Twain was required reading. And one of the stories of Mark Twain is the Tom Sawyer story. He gets in trouble. He has to paint the fence. He gets in trouble. His aunt makes him paint the fence outside the house. And he doesn't want to paint the fence, so he makes it look really fun. And then he convinces the other neighborhood kids to paint the fence. And then before you know it, he's got a whole crew and he's just supervising. I think that's a little bit of a negative twist to put onto delegation, but that's the way I view it, is that I actually just don't want to do the work. And I'm okay if they mess it up. What's the consequence if somebody messes it up? It's just going to cost me money. If you factor that into a business expense, it's totally okay.
How does a day-to-day look like, or a month-to-month, or a week-by-week? You know, how do you split up your time? And
I think I have having a micro team is very important for me. I don't know how I would do it without my micro team.
What do you mean by a micro team for everybody listening?
Yeah, it would be, think lean startup idea. Like what's the minimum viable team, MVT instead of MV, minimum viable product, as you know. So minimum viable team for me started out as the first virtual assistant. So that's my micro team: acquisitions manager, salesperson, VA, EA, executive assistant. And then I have a couple other people that do, I actually have a texting VA that works part-time. I do texting, mailing. The only thing I haven't added to my mix is ringless voicemail, and I plan on doing that as well. But I definitely am a believer in multi-channel marketing and leveraging the leads.
What are some of those lessons you might have gotten along the way, you know, as you sort of hired more and more and probably fired a lot too?
When you hire 2 or 3 people at a time. I think that has been really great advice for me. It's hard to fire people. We might see someone who's struggling and it's like, we don't want to add to their struggles, but at the same point, they're kind of dragging you down. And so the quicker you can make that decision, the better. And I've had to do that a few times. Other times I haven't fired someone quick enough and they're like still sticking around. They're like a sore tooth in your mouth that's like, do I really want to pull this tooth? And then it just gets painful enough to the point that, you know, you just have to take it out. Right. And it's not pleasant.
It's why it's so important to surround yourself with people either in, you know, entrepreneurs or in both, like in the land space as well. Because everyone who's making hundreds of thousands of dollars in the land space knows what, like, they've been through that. and understanding that and talking to them. And yeah, you'll see a lot of their successes and the member success, like I was saying, but you also got to talk to these people and see the downsides too. And I think having a community around that really helps get through those times.
So for me, it has absolutely been my acquisitions manager, like hiring somebody who can be on the phone closing deals. Like as the business owner, right, you can spend a bunch of time closing deals and you can get to seven figures, absolutely, closing deals yourself. You don't have enough time to work these leads and ensure you're following up consistently in the right manner, building these relationships, because that's really what it's all about, right? You're not just buying land, you're solving a problem, you're building a relationship with people. And if you are doing that all yourself, it's going to be, unless you're targeting incredibly high profit properties only, it's just going to be hard to scale that to a seven figure or eight figure level.
Yeah, I think having a partner's, and we get a lot of people who ask us, like, should they, I never tell people to force partnerships. And that's a really big key. Like if you just go in and like, you're like, I need a partner, you might end up partnering with the wrong person. For Daniel and myself, we really bounce ideas well off each other. We have some overlapping skills for sure, but we also have a lot of differences in our skill sets, which makes it our business very scalable, because we're not the same people. People think we're twins. We're not twins. We're brothers, and we're similar in our personalities, but our business acumen is a lot different. Yeah, it's very valuable. There are times when like Daniel, like it's like, wow, what's going on? Like we need to make some big adjustments, and like one of us needs to pick the other one up. So I think that's the value in partnerships.
Yeah, that's been a real journey, as you and I both know, just learning how to become leaders and learning how to bring in other people to take up the slack and really, really drive things forward. Because if there's one thing I've learned, it's that I can't do everything by myself. And going from that where you're the sole developer to going where you have somebody else that you're working with is a big step. And it took me a long time to get over the hurdles of the psychological hurdles of giving up control and being a leader and being a, you know, being an inspiration for other people. Like that's a major step that took a long time. But now looking back, it's been a really awesome journey for both of us. Like we now have a team of really great people who are doing awesome stuff, and we can sort of get our heads out of the sand and look down the road a little bit.
Before you stop this episode or hit the next episode, I want to personally thank you for listening to this episode of the Land Investing Business Secrets podcast by Pebble. If you found this helpful, we greatly appreciate any awesome reviews and ratings on whichever platform you are listening to this on. And if you have 2 minutes and wanted to step it up even more and help others, feel free to share this in other Facebook groups or pages or any communities, giving others a heads up of the Land Investing Business Secrets podcast or the specific episode that may help them on their land investing journey. Once again, thanks so much for listening, and catch you on our next episode.